Hi, I'm Jessica St. Clair.
And I'm June Diane Raphael.
And this is
The Deep Dive.
We're about to do what women have done for centuries. We're crowding around the fire with our generous haunches. We got babies hanging off our tits, and we're going to share with you our fears.
That's right. Our joys.
Our tips on how to stay alive.
Now, Jess, we are heeding a call that no one has made.
Not a soul, but you're invited to listen.
Absolutely, because we make one promise and one promise only. We will not Google a thing.
Because frankly, we're too damn tired.
Please get ready to go on
The Deep Dive. Okay, deep divers. Okay, we had a couple tech issues. That's not a surprise, but listen to me. We have the cutest, okay, this is the cutest guest you've ever experienced in your life. Okay, she's sitting in a room, and I wish that this was a video podcast, but also I don't because I'm not wearing a bra, but she is sitting in the cutest room with this daisy wallpaper. Okay, so that's where we're starting. She has wallpapered whatever cute little nook she's in. She is Lauren Lapkus. For those of you who don't know her, although you probably do, she is an actor, writer, and comedian known for her work on Orange is the New Black, Jurassic World, okay, The Wrong Missy, and Good Girls. She currently hosts two podcasts, Newcomers and Threedom. I got to know her on Comedy Bang Bang. We will get into it. She is a new mother. She has the best bangs in the business. June is away. Who gives a fuck, okay? I just recently said to Lauren, please don't tell her I had so much trouble getting on and that I was 10 minutes late. We're not afraid of June. We're here. Lauren, welcome.
Oh my God. I'm so excited. As someone who has listened to every single episode of this podcast, this is a very big day for me. I have heard every single second of this podcast.
Lauren, you are an OG deep diver. And it always makes me kind of surprised when our friends listen, because you would think you get enough of us in real life.
No.
You really, and you mention it all the time on your podcast, which don't necessarily have a crossover audience.
I really don't think there is. My fans are like, I think only 40-year-old men who have no interest in hearing about nails, but maybe there are some people in there who will start listening because of this. I don't know. I do recall like there was a point where I wanted to do ads for tampons on my podcast and they were like, you don't have enough female listeners to justify this. I talked at length about you guys the other day on Threedom because I was talking about, and I want to talk to you about this. I got to bring this up to them because I need to know how you feel about all this. So I was talking to Scott and Paul, my co-hosts, about the fact that on your podcast, what I hear from you guys is this type of friendship that I find really interesting, where you will be so honest with each other.
Yes.
And it is, in a way, like about things that are, I'm sure about deep things as well, but also like, you should not have your hair like that. You should not wear purple. You should not, like, and no one in my life is doing that for me. And I have to just like figure it out. Like years later, I look back and go, why didn't someone say that was really fucked up? Why didn't someone help me here? And I just love that. But I want to know how that feels in it, because I hear it and I go, oh, I'm kind of jealous of this dynamic, but you have to be ready for it.
And I don't know, like, honestly, I'd have to ask Lennon, but I don't know if everybody is here for it. You know, between Lennon and I, like, we will tell each other, like, get that off your body, like, right now. But like, that is also, you have to really arrive at a deep level of intimacy. And I feel like most people have that with their sisters.
Yeah.
Or their mother sometimes, depending on the relationship. I don't have a sister. And
me
so
neither.
You don't either. Okay. So my girlfriends have always functioned in that way for me.
Yes.
So I feel very comfortable telling people what's up with their, because I want them to look their best. That's the thing.
Me it's too. Like,
I'm not interested in people walking around the world not making the most of their assets.
I agree, but I feel like you guys have a way of saying it. I don't know. I did have an intervention brought to me by Arden Marine, which was great. Because we have that a little more. We can be like, that's not a good skirt.
Right,
that's not good.
Right.
But she's like, I was wearing maternity bras long past the point like nursing bras long past the point of it being a necessary thing to do. But it was like the only bras I had, and I had no idea what size I was anymore. And we went bra shopping, and I was like guessing and just trying stuff. And then like a little bit into it, I was like, hey, I don't really think this is right. Like, I think I'm just guessing the wrong size. And she comes in and she's like, oh my God, you have to throw those in the trash.
That's right.
Right now. And I was like, can I donate them? She was like, no.
Nobody wants that.
This is garbage. And it was kind of amazing. And then I got fitted by a person at the store, which I didn't want to do at all, but I was totally wrong. And so I was like, all right, great. And it was fine. But
well, I had the reverse experience. And in, I think I've spoken about this on the podcast, maybe not, but after I gave birth, I had Lennon. Lennon came to the hospital, and our babies recognize, you know how they only recognize your voice and your partner's?
Yeah, yeah.
But they also recognized our voices. So wow. When I walked into Lennon's delivery room, her baby turned her head like, because they were used to hearing
that gives
our voices
me chills.
Through the belly.
That's crazy.
Yes.
Well,
it was crazy.
I was pregnant during COVID, so I really had like nobody around me at all. And then the idea of visiting someone in the hospital sounds so nice.
Very intense.
Yeah.
And I only wanted her to come. I didn't want anyone else to come. So she saw me in the hospital. But then when I got home, and this was pre-cancer, so I had not yet let it all hang out, but I decided that I would try to pretend like everything was fine and that I was killing it to my own best friend. And I cleaned up only the downstairs.
Uh-huh.
The upstairs looked like a war zone, you know, like poop splattered walls. And I put on hoop earrings.
That's really crazy.
And I put out like a fresh flower. And I don't even know where that came from. And I was like, oh, hi. Because I thought if I pretended that I did have it together, maybe I would, if I could fool her.
Yeah.
And she looked at me and she said, are you wearing a sports bra? And pulling it down. And I said, that's right. I didn't get around to getting a nursing bra.
She just saw right through it all. Yeah.
Yes. She got me a nursing bra. But I really am like, I'm just fascinated by, then I was forced to drop all manner of artifice when I got sick. And that is really where the intimacy comes in, is showing somebody when you are a mess. But I was forced. And I can tell you that I would not have let down those walls had I not been forced to be actually on so many drugs that like they needed to be there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you been pushed to that point of destruction yet in your life?
Well,
maybe that's what is needed.
Probably. I feel like what would have happened is that would have happened if COVID wasn't happening when I was postpartum, because I feel like my body was like in so much pain for like a long time. Like I had like a lot of things that it took me like a long time to figure out what was going on. Like I had a lot of knee pain, like things that didn't seem to make sense to me and no one could answer. And then I eventually did pelvic floor therapy, which was like amazing. I wish I had started that sooner. And so that's my advice, like anyone, if you have just had a baby vaginally and you're like, I kind of have some pain, like just go see someone, because I think if I had done that sooner, it probably would have helped a lot of my issues, like with my knees and everything. Because it was like all
your
connected.
Knees. Why?
I know,
because
my posture was messed up. Like and I also had weight gain that I was then losing. And then it was like, I had like no muscle. Like it was all just like out of whack. And like I hadn't worked out like most of my pregnancy. I basically didn't
work. Of course. Well, also, you were in COVID. You were probably not even doing the walking you normally would have been doing.
No, and I had stopped working out because of COVID. I like didn't go to my classes before I even got pregnant or anything.
Yes.
And so my routines were already off. Then I got pregnant. I did IVF, and at least with my doctor, I wasn't allowed to work out for the first trimester. So then I was like, okay, so I can't work out. So then I was like, I don't want to work out the rest of the time because I'm like afraid to work out.
Oh, God.
And so I just like didn't, even though I knew that's okay. It was like my brain was like,
let's just
not do that. Mm-hmm. And then afterwards, I feel like I had like my legs had like zero muscle. And like, it was just.
How are women supposed to survive childbirth? It's so crazy. And nobody tells you that. Your insides are going to be ripped apart and you're not going to be able to walk.
I know. And I mean, I also had delayed postpartum hemorrhaging 2 weeks after giving birth, which
that was
terrifying. So terrifying. Had to go to the ER in the middle of the night. And
all my God.
Really scary. And so it was like my body was like completely wrecked. So I'm like, those are things that if I had been able to have friends over, would have been nice. I did have friends bring me things, which was very nice. But, you know, I didn't want them to come in the house. I'm like afraid. So it was crazy.
You know, I'm so obsessed with you on Instagram, and I'm very attracted to you, and I say that very openly. And
oh, the feeling is mutual.
Well, I appreciate that. But when I was watching your journey on it, I was actually thinking how cozy it must be.
Stupid. There is some of that.
Like, to not feel that you had to rejoin the world so quickly. And there was lots of wonderful cabin photos, and they were always by a lake. But of course, you're not sharing with the public.
Yeah. I was working. So the lake pictures, well, I was by a lake in my hometown, but also by a lake in Georgia where I was working, which was really hard. Like, it's like, of course, Instagram makes it look fun and nice. And it was, and the pictures were pretty. It was so hard. I was doing The Curse of Bridge Hollow, this Halloween movie in Georgia for 2 weeks, but all my stuff was at night. So I was like middle of the night.
Oh my God.
Pumping all the stuff, freezing. My baby was like 4 months old and we were in the middle of nowhere. You know, it was just like really hard.
It's so, hard.
And traveling there was really hard and COVID and blah. And so it was just like, I think there the plus side of that time and the plus side of COVID for me in that in the moment of being pregnant was I was able to just like be really calm, not have my busy life, not feel like I'm missing out on something by not doing everything that I normally do. And that was really cool for me because I have a lot of FOMO. Like I have a really hard time not doing all the stuff. So
well, also our careers were sold us this bill of goods. Like you better always be creating and producing even when you are producing a human.
Yeah,
which saps. And I wouldn't just say our career. That's only our experience. But I think like the fact that women are supposed to just like work right up to the day. I worked up until the night before I gave birth.
Wow. Oh, my God.
And then I went back to work when she was 8 weeks old.
Oh, my God. No. Yeah, that's a lot. I didn't go back until she was 4 months. And that was just one gig. Like,
if you're a New York City public school teacher, I think you get 6 weeks.
No, it's crazy. Well, you know, I did this short film about the first mother to go to space. Okay, this astronaut. And she, and of course, there have been many fathers went to space, but nobody called them that. But she had a baby and went back to, you know, NASA like 2 days later. She didn't go to space until the baby was like 14 weeks, I think. But she, or maybe a little older. But she was in, or maybe it was a little, I'm getting the numbers wrong on that, but she was back at the, you know, space station doing her like math and whatever astronauts do within days. I was just like, I couldn't stand. And I'm amazed by people who do it, but I'm also amazed and, you know, distraught by how we're kind of expected to. Like, it's just
intense. I mean, think of Beyonce's line, you know, strong enough to bear the children, then get back to business. And I think and obviously, like, so many people don't even have the luxury of a day off.
Right.
And I am truly horrified by how we treat maternity and the lack of it. There's nothing new there. We have so many things on our plate to fight for. And that seems to be one that goes by the wayside constantly.
I know.
And also there's this badge of honor, like I'm back. And I felt that. I felt like, well, look at me and I can do it. The only reason I could do it was I was my own boss. I could bring my nanny to set and have a dedicated room. That only happens when you're in charge. That's impossible to do. But then I was like, I remember like I became obsessed with this idea that if I didn't have to go to formula, I was somehow still being a present. This is so crazy, mother. Like,
no, I actually really understand because your brain works so weirdly in that time. And like I pumped almost exclusively for months and months and months and months and months, yes, because I had issues breastfeeding. I can't be very logical where I'm kind of like, you know what? I just have to do this. I'm just going to do this because this will work. I was trying this other thing. It's hard. We had like a NICU stay. We had a lot of reasons why it was a challenge. So I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to do this. And I felt accomplished. And I did it for 7 months. And when I look back, I was like, I'm not going to do that again.
That's that was crazy. Yes, these weird things we do to have control. And I felt like, well, I'm if I just can only do that, and that would mean that I would hook myself up to the pump while I was sitting in hair and makeup for almost 2 hours.
Oh, I would totally do the same thing if I were you. I mean, I would have done that. Wait, you would pump for 2 hours straight?
That's right. Ever pumped while okay, driving?
That part I didn't do.
Ever pumped while driving? On the 405?
No, I didn't pump while I pumped in my car. With my
sitting.
Baby Buddha, by the way, I would highly recommend that pump. But I was so methodical. I had timers, but I would be like every 3 hours for 20 minutes, every 3 hours for 20 minutes. And so
yes,
which also when you think about pumping, if you're not breastfeeding and you are pumping, you're both, if you have a partner, you're both still getting up in the middle of the night because you have to pump, they have to feed them. You have to pump. It's like,
that's
you,
right.
It doesn't line up. Okay. And also if I were to pump then feed, I'm up for a full hour. Then it's like, you can't do everything. So you never actually, it's not like pumping allows you more sleep. Like there's no like actual relief
quick
from
fix.
It.
Yeah. No, I
you're
don't
still
know.
Doing
like,
the
I feel
thing.
Like there was. Also, I was obsessed with schedules. Like,
yeah.
Like I would get online and go, well, that person has a schedule. It's like rest, eat, play, down,
oh,
sleeping.
Of course.
And like none of that works. And the other thing was like, just stretch it. Stretch them until like they start to flip out. And Lennon was such the opposite. Like, it's so funny because in life, Lennon is so methodical and much more like you and like in terms of like logical brain. But Lennon was like, feeding when they were hungry and, you know, letting them sleep on you and all this crazy shit. And I was like,
right.
No, I have to do it the hard way.
Right.
And I just wish someone had said, like, what's easiest for you? What's easiest for your mental and physical health, mom?
Yeah, it's weird because I like part of me is like maybe pumping was what was easiest for me because I felt locked into it. Like I was like, I got this.
Yeah.
And look, I'm making the milk and it's happening, which like people, there's stigma around pumping. There's stigma around not being able to produce milk. There's stigma around breastfeeding for too long. There's like you, every single thing is judged by another group of people, which also really adds to the stress of it. Because even when you make your choice, you're still hearing something at some point from someone who makes you feel bad for whichever one you picked. Or even, I would see memes that were like, so with pumping, a lot of it is like, pumping is breastfeeding. That's like the message they want you to get online about it. Like, it is that. Okay? And so I'm like, okay, it is. Oh, I would see a meme that would be like, you're not a bad mother if you're pumping instead of breastfeeding. Go, well, that never crossed my fucking mind.
Like, why are you putting that up? Yeah, why are
they
you
They give you an
that?
Idea that something you're doing is wrong when no one said to you that it was. And then you're like, now I just saw that it's not bad to do. I'm like, well, yeah, I didn't think it was. So it, I'm just, it's horrible. It's exhausting.
The thing, and it's the same thing about optimizing motherhood. Like you have to be the best mother. And I really took it like, and this got me in so much trouble because I was like, my physical needs are last in every possible way, right? And then I got sick, you know, and I don't think it's not a mystery that after 2 years of working 15 to 16 hour days and then staying up all night, because what I would do is like, I'd be so guilty that I'd been working for that many hours.
Yeah.
That her wake up in the night was like the time that I had with her alone.
Yeah.
And so I would like happily do that. But that meant I never slept. Like, do you remember our friend Anthony King said that when he had that job as a did you ever hear this story as a theater reviewer?
I don't know. No, I don't think I've heard this.
He didn't sleep for more than 3 hours at a time for 2 years when we were in our 20s. He had a job during the day and then would review theater at night. And so he decided he would never sleep. Ever.
What?
And it was so crazy. And like, but you can do that in your 20s and possibly not die. But when you are having your children later in life, and by later, I mean like the second half of your 30s, you can't, your body can't handle it. And so it's not, the public service announcement should be like, we cannot have our mothers getting sick and getting cancer and getting, and I'm telling you, like, I was in chemo, this is such a depressing episode, but I think it's important. I really think it's important for people to hear. I wish someone had said this to me. I probably wouldn't have listened. So maybe it's a waste, but I was in chemo with so many girls my age who had just had children.
Oh my God. That's so scary.
And I'm like, what's the deal here?
Yeah.
And nobody would tell us because nobody really knows. But they were all mothers in their late 30s and early 40s. Wow. And I was like, okay. And I know there's a hormonal component where after 35, your hormones go through the roof. And so basically that's if you do have a a propensity to get cancer, it throws gasoline on the fire. And okay, that's another way we got fucked. Because I was like, I'm going to wait until I can be the boss to have this child.
Right.
I want to have some control over my career. And thank God if Julia Louis-Dreyfus had not said to me within three lines of meeting her, when are you going to have a baby? And I told her I was going to wait until my career was in an acceptable state. And she said, why would you ever put this off? Like, I love being a mother is so wonderful. Do it. If you want to do it, do it now. If I hadn't done it then, I may never have had a baby.
Wow. That is so special that she said that.
It was special.
I had a nice conversation with Steve Heitner. You know him? He's on Seinfeld.
Okay.
I just saw him at a party, but he was like, asked me about my daughter. And he was like, you know, we were talking about work. And then he was like, take all the time with her that you have. Take all the time because... He's like, I'm 65 and I'm still doing comedy and that'll always be there and you can always do it. And, you know, it was like such a nice thing to say because you just feel like there's pressure on you in this business to achieve certain things by certain times. And it's really, it can make you feel bad. But at the same time, I'm like, I'm having the best time being a mom. I'm so happy being with her. It is helping me care less about work in a good way, like the pressures of this business.
And I think it's really important that we elders, and I consider myself the elder, not you, Lauren. You're very, very young and beautiful.
I'm an elder to other people.
You are an elder to other people, but I think it's really important for us to say to the youngers, if motherhood is something that you're considering, like, don't put off joy. Don't put off that because you think your life has to be in this perfect, you have to have the house, the job, the make it, because I do wish I had done, well, you know what? You do it in the time you do it. But I just wish that I hadn't been sold this bill of goods that it was going to be so easy.
Or that there would be a time where, exactly. I had a lot of struggles in that department, which also I wanted to just give a shout out to anyone going through that because it's the hardest thing in the world to go through. And like witnessing friends getting pregnant, and even this conversation, like I'm very aware of myself speaking about this. That I don't want anyone to feel ostracized or hurt by this conversation because it was very hard for me in that time to even hear a podcast about it. So my heart goes out to anyone struggling with that. But I just wanted to say that because I feel like even with like posting about getting pregnant, I really struggled with how do I even share that I'm pregnant because I don't want to hurt someone's feelings. And I really mean that. Like, it's so hard. It's
Melissa
so hard.
Rauch had that same
sentiment. She was so amazing. I worked with her on Big Bang Theory. And at the time that we were working on the show, she had written an article about her miscarriage that was so meaningful to me. And like, she sent me a nice baby gift. She's like the nicest person in
the
world.
She truly is the nicest person. So, Lauren, you were married, you had a first marriage, and then you ended up getting married a second time. And so your time line delayed? in that way?
Yeah, a bit. Yeah, because that wasn't something that was going on in my previous marriage. It wasn't, that wasn't part of the, you know, equation over there. This was, you know, a journey that the second I got divorced when I was 30. So it was something that I was like very aware of because, you know, they're always like, you're 30. Like it's just the world tells you it's like time. And so I had the feeling of like, oh, I want to do this. And I did have a pregnancy and a loss in my early 30s and then the journey of struggling and then eventually doing IVF. So it was a year's long struggle. And I haven't talked about it on any podcast, partly because my podcasts are all about talking with older men about bullshit, you know?
Right, it's nice to be a girl. It's nice to just try to just be able to share these, because God, doesn't it give comfort when you, so like Melissa gave you comfort. And then I'm sure when you encounter a woman who's going through the same thing, you are able to give them first the thing of like, I get it and I see you and I feel you, but also some hope that it will end up the way you want it to.
Definitely. Definitely. And I'm like, it's also just like, there's so much pressure. I think one thing that's sort of, I have had friends who've gone through this as well. And I've also had friends who've ended up deciding they're not going to try anymore. Right, they're not going to have kids. And then like kind of just going on that path of accepting this new version of what you think and how you feel about your life, which is a lot. But I've seen both turn out really nicely where the people are really happy and they're like, you know what? I'm really happy with how this ended up and either having a baby or not. And like, I've also, I think back to this period of time in my life where it was my main focus in my head, like all the time was this feeling and I went through a lot of therapy and stuff. But looking back, it's also a weird blur. Like it's like once you kind of make your decision or you come to the other side of it or your decision happens for you or whatever, you kind of can't remember everything, you know, all the little details in a good way. Like I think like I don't want to hold on to every single piece of that pain or like, you know, for the rest of my life. And I think I had even guilt about not feeling the pain anymore, like going like, okay, I'm letting it go. Like that also feels wrong or something, like it's holding on to, I don't know. I don't know what that means.
I totally understand. I do know what that means. I feel like there's this way of going like, well, I have the baby now. And so I want to just be in the present moment and enjoy it. And I don't want to have to relive and you know, be in the past. And yet it is really important to at least just validate it for other people too. Like I feel very similarly with the cancer stuff because I'm like, you know, I am the person that people reach out to, you know, in our community and also at large. And, you know, I used to do a lot of one-on-one phone calls, hour-long phone calls, walking through the neighborhood and being re-triggered over and over again about my own journey. And finally, you know, my husband was like, and Lennon and my girlfriends were like, I don't know if you need to do this one-to-one.
Yeah.
Because it is, I don't want to constantly be dragged back to the past.
Yeah.
As much as I do want to give the comfort and hope, and I still do to my very close contacts. Like if somebody's like, listen, my sister and it's the best friend, I'm like, of course. But I think that when you're talking about any sort of trauma, there is something about that being a past story. And what story are we living right now? We don't have to always be put back. Let's be in the present moment with the joy that we're having. And whether that means with a child or not.
Right.
Because I've seen, you know, people who have gone through that journey and then decided, okay, I'm not going to adopt and I'm not going to, you know, keep trying with the IVF. And then I see them on these fucking eat, pray, love journeys.
Well, of
and
course.
I'm like, okay, friend, like there is such
joy. It can go in totally different. Yes. And it can be amazing. And that looks amazing too. Like seeing people just having a really fun time all the time is also a great choice, you know?
That's also a great choice. And I think there's so much of like society saying, well, one, it's just like we're talking about breastfeeding. It's like one thing is better than the other, or looking around and saying, well, what is everyone else doing? And that's what I felt like with having two. is yeah. I was like, am I doing
yeah,
the wrong
I remember you
thing?
Talking about this, and I thought that was so interesting because it made me feel like, oh God, it doesn't end. Like there's always like that next question of like, oh,
like,
is
I can't
this the
believe,
right thing to do?
I can't believe, sometimes I'm like, how dare you but, even ask this question when you didn't know if you were going to survive, live.
But that's how life goes. Like it goes on and you're like, now I have a new thing to think about. You know, it's not, yes. It doesn't mean you're wrong or selfish or not accepting the reality of what you've gone through or processing it. You know, it's like, you're just going, and then here's my next day. I'm doing this now. Should I do this? You know?
Right. But I would like to find a way. And I think that in my best days where I'm like, how to make what we have right now the best version of that, as opposed to longing for the next job is going to make me happy.
Yes.
The next house, the next whatever, or the next baby, or the next relationship. It's like, okay, but what about what I have in front of me right now?
I do it so much about like the next thing. I mean, like, yeah, I really relate to it. And I don't want to. I do think like because I'm home with my daughter like so much, I'm mostly home with her. It slows down that part of my brain a little bit because I'm like, I can't do these other, they're not happening right now. She is screaming right now. So like I do have to focus.
I have to be in the present moment.
I have to respond to this thing that's happening right now. But I also wanted to ask you about ADD because I brought this up on Threedom, so if people have listened to that, but I'm like going down a little bit of a wormhole trying to figure out if I have that. And I'm hearing people on podcasts like Elizabeth Lame's husband and you getting diagnosed. Yeah.
Yes.
And I'm like, this is so interesting. It's like a sort of like, I feel like nowadays everyone's always talking about 7-year-olds having it. We're not really talking about people our age, you know, going like, I think I have this thing.
Well, it's a wild ride, okay, because the deal is that for women especially, and men, but mostly for women, the type of ADHD we're being diagnosed with is not what is typically known about like a hyperactive, like unable to sit down on their seat in school or focus on their schoolwork.
Yeah.
And so basically, and women are really good at masking. They use this phrase all the time. And I'm still very much beginning my learning journey about this. And of course, I've approached this in like the most me way where I'm like, I've enrolled in 17 online courses. I'm reading 3 books about it. I'm consulting, you know, every podcast. And it's like, that's also like total information overload. But I never, ever thought that I was somebody who would ever have that. This is like the craziest. When it was Casey Wilson who said to me, maybe you should. It was after like the worst. I just had so many crises pile up on me, like about life.
Yeah.
I mean, life stuff. Like I didn't realize I owed this much in taxes or that I hadn't paid my property tax. Like things that are just like, taxes are really something I don't care
for.
Oh,
they really stress me out. Oh my God. I hate thinking about that stuff.
They don't give a dopamine hit. So basically what happens is like my brain doesn't have enough dopamine. So it like looks for it everywhere.
Oh.
And crisis gives you a bit of dopamine. And the things that cause the crisis don't. Like doing your taxes or making sure your registration is up to date so you don't get your car towed.
By the way, that's been my whole
journey.
Registration has been a journey I've been on for this whole year. And I was sort of like, I always was on top of this stuff where I'd like immediately get the letter and immediately send the check. I'm like, done, done, done. And then having a baby, I think, threw me off and maybe it changed my brain makeup a little bit or something.
No, but you basically have too much. There are some people who can have a baby and still manage all of this. And there's some of it. So it's not necessary. Sometimes women are just completely overwhelmed. We take on too much emotional labor, too much physical labor, the majority of, you know, housework and baby taking care of. And there's so many, you're thinking about another human. For me, that was true too. I mean, I was always like showing up at the airport for an international flight and then realizing that I didn't have my passport updated and then watching my family get on the plane.
No.
I'll never forget it. When I like was...
No, see, I'm obsessive about that stuff. I will look at that over and over and over again and be like, does this say the right thing? Cody just said something interesting. That's interrupting you.
This is huge.
She says, trauma does this to your brain and living through a pandemic. I'd assume having a baby in the pandemic, too, is a lot of this. Well, I will take that. I will take a little bit of credit.
So
there.
That is true, too. And again, none of this is, please don't quote me on any of this, guys. Because
on anything I said.
I'm listening to so many podcasts right now at the same time. But trauma, so living in fight or flight, especially while you're a child, can cause you to have your brain not to sync up in the right way. So that is true. So some people who have childhood trauma can also in adulthood realize that they have ADHD. But so anyway, the journey's been crazy. But basically what happened was I came to Casey. We were supposed to be doing writing and I was just a wreck. And we were at this office space, shared office space that she pays to be a part of. And I was feeling so bad. I had to climb onto her lap. Now, Casey doesn't like to be touched.
Okay.
And
that's
she,
a good
I didn't
bit of
know
info.
That about her. Yeah. I climbed. I said, I'm sorry, but I have to sit basically on top of you. And I took my shoes off. And so as she was cradling me like a baby bird and everybody was watching in this place, like sipping their coffee on their laptops, like what the fuck is this adult woman doing sitting on the top of another adult woman? She said, I think maybe you might want to check this out. And she gave me the contact to this psychiatrist. And when I called her, she was like, I remember I was in my car in New Hampshire where my parents live. And she was like, let me just ask you a few questions. Like, do you ever find yourself like losing your belongings? And I was like, well, I lost my wallet 3 weeks ago and I don't know where it is.
Okay.
Or any of my credit cards.
Yeah.
I got on the plane with a passport but I don't have a license. I'm driving around without one.
Uh-huh.
And she was like, okay. That's like kind of all she needed to know.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's like our superpower is that we can see things from like we're very creative and we can come up with projects and ideas that are our brain is more expansive in that way. And that's what lights us up. Projects.
Yeah.
Big ideas. You know, for me, merch.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Okay. A new podcast, a new TV idea. Like I can see the whole thing in my brain. But when it comes to like the details of responding to that email or I need someone else. So actually, I did really great when I had an assistant. So that's the thing. When I had my baby, I had an assistant that, of course, became like so close to the family. Two of them, they would follow me around with little baby bell cheeses on their belt loops, like, and they would fire me a cheese so I'd forget to eat. They would say, it's time to call your husband now. They would track my amount of breast milk, like on, you know, when you would have like a United Way, like fundraising goal, you know, that would be like, we're up to here. We need 3 more ounces. Like, so I thought I'm killing it. And I would dump all my mail on their desk, like the Devil Wears Prada.
That. I don't want to do that stuff. I really hate. I will let a pile like build. And then I'm like, I got to look at that. But that's like, I would say I'm organized, but then I would say that might be a lie that I've told because I think it's been true my entire life until more recently where like I will have piles everywhere where I'm like, I know it's generally a pile of shit that I need to deal with. So that's organized in that way. But the idea of getting to it is like horrible. And then
it's
like emails.
And it builds
stressful.
It builds up in your brain. Like the thing about ADHD is you'll see that pile and you'll be like, no, I can't even do it. So you put it off. When really, now I have this coach where basically she'll on the phone with me be like, let's go. Let's open 10 of these things. And then she'll go,
That's cool.
She'll be like, that took 2 minutes.
That's always what it fucking is too. Because I'll have like an email where it's like, my accountant will be like, send me 5 really boring things. And I'm like, oh no, I can't do that. Like,
Put it off. Take you 2 minutes.
It's not hard at all.
Because our brains have a hard time thinking in the tiny. you know, my brain has its hard time thinking in these little tiny chunks. Whereas like Lennon is really good at that stuff. Like she may be working and have a pile build up, but in her mind, she understands at least how to break it into tiny things. Yeah. I'm just like, I don't want to look at that pile. I'll never look at that pile, you know, and then who knows what's in that pile. The scariest things are in that pile.
I know. And sometimes the things in there, I'm like, oh, shit. It literally
Okay, Laura,
says.
I do want you to, after, we're going to trade some information.
But this is amazing because I feel like in my family, I'm like an organized person. But it's like, I'm hearing these things from other people where they're like explaining what the thing is. Even like Elizabeth's husband, like there was like a website that's like a cartoonist makes cartoons about ADD. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I looked at them and I was like, these aren't things that I think of when I hear ADD. Like, and of course, I can't think of examples because I think that's probably part of it. But I'm like, I'm looking at them going, oh, that's one of them. Oh, interrupting people. I definitely do that. Yeah.
Yeah, because your brain is actually, or my brain. I'm sorry. I don't mean to, I'm not diagnosing
you.
No, I'm like,
no. I mean, I don't know.
My brain goes too fast. It's like, mm-hmm. I'm already on like the three things you said. I'm like, I got to make those connections. Like there is some, but
I relate to that.
What's beautiful about it is, first of all, so many artists have it. That's also a lot of entrepreneurs have it. Because like you have to be able to dream big in order to have, you know, this brain that is your. But what I think is so wonderful about the way we're approaching mental health now, hopefully, and I watch it with my daughter, and I'm really hoping your daughter has the same experience, is like, we're not saying like, you're broken. Something's wrong with you. Like, you better feel bad. It's like, no, like there is always a superpower element to every way our brains are different. And just saying you're not neurotypical, it's not actually like, that's not a bad thing. It just means that a fewer percentage of people have this thing, but also that's why there are fewer people who run their own businesses.
Right.
You know, who are artists, who are, you know, it's like, by the way, who are really fun fucking moms. Like, I'm a fun mom. Yeah. I'm also kind of a crazy mom. Like, BB knows, like, when we went into the Heath in London, like, and it was the hottest day, we did go swimming in a duck pond by accident.
Wow.
But that's something she's never going to forget. Now,
but
does she kind of sometimes live in fear, like, we're going to do something insane? That's good for her.
Your story about your Thanksgiving meal, I was on the edge of my seat. Because I was like, okay, first of all, I was impressed that you ordered the whole, I don't do anything for Thanksgiving. I literally nothing, okay?
Yeah.
I was like, wow.
That was only because I've been on the drugs.
Okay, but I was like, this is amazing. And then when you said you forgot, I was like, just the journey of it, I was like, oh no. Oh no, you didn't know it was the day before. Well, how are you supposed to know? And then they didn't even have your order. And I was like, what the fuck should... Well, then did you get charged? And you were like, I haven't looked at the credit card, which I understand that too, not wanting to go deal with that admin aspect of it all. And then the magic of wandering into that, or, you know, the mistake of... It was very much like an improv scene where it was like, all your mistakes get woven in and it makes sense in the end, where it was like, I accidentally texted that to a friend, and that's embarrassing. Now he knows this. And then your friend was like, go to this place, actually, which you never would have known if you didn't accidentally text me. And then you were there, and then it was magical, and it was
magical
amazing.
Magical turkey. Now,
and then
that
you still fucked up the turkey, but that was relatable. This is, I was like,
okay, so
that's
Laura,
bound to happen. How are you going to know it's not cooked? I don't know.
And that doesn't happen to everybody. But here's the thing. Yeah. I, in the past, would be like, oh, look, it's something fine happened. Like, and then my brain gets reinforced, like, no big deal to live like this in this type of panic. And the good thing for me has been that Dan doesn't live like this. And in fact, is much more of a Lennon.
Yeah.
And the chaos has been hard for both Lennon and he, you know.
Yeah.
More so him because he has to live with me. But like that kind of chaos, and it doesn't work when you have a child. It's too hard.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's why like Casey Davis, Struggle Care is a podcast you're going to love. And
what
her book,
is this? I don't know
how to
this.
How to Keep House While Drowning is just this fucking, it's going to blow your mind. We're having her on as well soon. But
see, your podcast interests, by the way, are very different than mine. I tend to listen to comedy or just people I know just talking. And I'm like, I like to feel like I have people talking to me all the time. But
that's very ADHD.
Yeah.
You're looking for a dopamine hit at all times, even while you're doing I can't. If you tell me you got to do the dishes while not listening to my podcast friends, you better be no.
No. And even you're talking about showering and listening. I was like, I listen to podcasts in the shower for sure. I like to listen to people. I love to hear people talking. And when I know them, I like it even more because I feel like I kind of hung out with them, like, even though it does not go both ways and they have no connection to me listening to it and they don't remember what they said. But it's like, I'm feeling like, oh, great. I saw Naomi at Paragon today. And it's like, in my head, I listened to her podcast. But
that's right.
But I also think it could be good for me to listen to things that might be people I don't know being informative. So tell me about this one that you're talking about.
So Casey Davis, she has ADHD. She's a mother. She found out during the pandemic she had it. And her whole thing is just that tasks, she calls them care tasks, not chores. They are morally neutral. So if you have a dirty house, you are not a bad mom or person or woman.
Yeah.
And so she's like, let's make this work for you. But she works so well with the ADHD brain. Like, she has her five things she does when she cleans up a room. First, she does the garbage. Then she does the dishes. Then she does blank, blank, blank. And it's like, for me, it's like, oh, I just look at a messy kitchen and I just want to walk out of the room and go to TJ Maxx. So that's been very helpful to me. And I love that. Honestly, it's helpful for everybody.
Yeah.
Because I think every parent, every working person in the world is overwhelmed.
Yeah.
And there are just helpful things that we can all share. But I just, the reason why you're hearing so many women in their late 30s, 40s being diagnosed with this is that they have realized we were not diagnosed. Just one of the many ways, and that could be the theme of this podcast, we are fucked by the medical system.
Yeah.
Because good little girls sit at their desk, even if they are having trouble understanding everything that is being said to them in class. I used to panic. Like, I had to write. That's another thing about ages. If you have to write everything down in order to remember
I used to take notes like, oh, yeah, that's definitely, yeah.
I would copy all of my notes into another notebook like a psycho, and it would take me 600 times longer to study. But I was like, I'll do it because I'm masking any kind of, you know, that also
it
my
helps
goal
you remember.
Was,
yeah.
Right. Not everybody needs that, you know,
yeah.
Not that if you have to write things down, you have ADHD, but that's just one of the things, like, we have to physically write it down. But it's just been a journey. And, you know, I think that's one of the things I'm so glad about, you know, having BB, is I want to be my best self for her, you know, and I want to be able to teach her some of the skills I didn't have. And one of those is like your mental health and how to approach it and think about it and maybe give them tools early on so that, because their brains are really plastic. It's hard to learn this stuff when our brains are like old pieces of gum, you know, chewed up gum.
I know. And I do feel like our generation is so much more into talking about this stuff and like thinking that therapy is a good thing and everyone can go and benefit from it. And it's not like it's not like embarrassing or something, or it doesn't mean you have a problem or you're a bad person.
I used to hide it from Lennon. Lennon was like, why are you going to the dentist so often? Are you losing all your teeth?
Which is like actually sounds way worse than like talking to someone for an hour.
But also I was just like, oh shit, I haven't been to the dentist in a year and a half. I have ADHD. I didn't know. If you want to see some bangs, we didn't get to talk about bangs, but
we have to talk about that at some point, because you did change my life a little bit with that Dyson. For years, Jessica was talking about the Dyson. I just have to throw this out there. I know it's expensive as fuck. I didn't want to buy it myself. I understand it's an elite product. Just please. I don't know how to do my hair at all. I now can do my hair. This product has changed my life. If they want to sponsor me, I would gladly show them before and afters. I didn't listen to you, okay? I was
afraid.
But I was afraid because it was expensive.
ADHD, I told you, I'm a visionary. But some of the things I try are crazy. Now listen, Dyson is a great thing, the smooth and control system. But if you don't have the money for the Dyson, the thing I actually use, and I hadn't shared this with you, Lauren, because you were so excited about the Dyson, I didn't want to overwhelm you. And now I know you might have a neuro, you know, atypical brain. You would be overwhelmed. The Revlon brush that is also a...
Can I tell you, it's in my house because my mom brought it for when she visits and I cannot use it. I'm not good at these. I don't even want to figure it out.
It's
That's
not
also part
hard.
Of it. It's a laziness of I don't want to figure it out.
I understand. I'm going to do a story where I show you guys how I blow dry my hair. But that thing has changed the game.
Nobody you need to show
using,
this.
Okay, nobody, it's on my Amazon store. Nobody should be holding a brush and a gigantic hair dryer.
I couldn't do it at all.
That's the patriarchy. Nobody should be doing that, and that we don't have to. Science has brought us new products.
And let me tell you, my hands don't do that. They're going in different directions. I'm looking in the mirror. I can't understand. The Dyson did change that for me. I now feel like I'm capable of at least pulling off a good looking neutral hairstyle. I'm thrilled. It changed everything. I have struggled
for years.
I'd love
to hear this. Yeah. I'd love to hear this. Yeah. And also, we are working from the outside in. As much as we've
taken
some time during this podcast to talk about the wonderful thing about mental health, you know, pursuing therapy, et cetera, let's also remember we are this year working on the outside in. Let's have a good blowout and see how that affects our mental health.
It changes everything. And by the way, Scarlett Curtis's episode was really fantastic for that same topic. And the nails game, I'm loving seeing everyone's nails on your stories. Your nails, I noticed during this podcast, look amazing. I do have a manicure right now, thankfully.
Thank you.
So
that's
I'm not
stunning.
A total piece of shit.
Stunning. Stunning, stunning, stunning.
But it's, I think that's a great message, because I think we can be taught that it's like vain or stupid to care about these things. And it does help your mental health to feel better about how you look, just to make a little effort. I just got and I know you have to go, and I'm just going to throw this out there. I got a facial recently, and the woman was like, what do you do for your skin? And I was like, I wash it at night. I put on moisturizer in the morning and night. And she goes, that's not enough steps. And you have to do 10,000 more steps. And I've been doing them every day, and it has changed my face. I use serums now.
I'd love for you to post. We're gonna post it. Listen, we're gonna post Lauren's nightly routine.
Yes.
Love for her to do a story. We're gonna have her do that, because if I have to watch Gwyneth, God bless, do her nighttime routine one more time, but I gotta tell you, all that stuff, it's like a moment for you. It's some me time.
When I put a serum on, I understood what everyone's talking about with their fucking serums, because I was like, the smoothness of this product feels good. It feels nice. It feels like I'm doing something.
And by the way, to put it on with nails. Looks nice and feels good. Okay.
It's a very nice moment.
Lauren, I love you so much. Deep divers, June and I will be back next week. You're welcome for this delicious bonbon that was Lauren Lapkus.
Thank you guys so much for having me. Oh, so fun.
Love you.
Love you too. Thank you.
Let's go on the deep dive. Let's go dive in deep. Let's go on the deep dive. No secrets will we keep. It's June and Jessica, going deep. How deep can you go? Oh, really deep. Let's go on the deep dive. Let's go dive in deep.
The Deep Dive is produced by Earwolf, Jessica St. Clair, and June Diane Raphael. Our producer is Anna Cecilia, and our executive producer is Cody Fisher. Our sound engineer is Veronica Simonetti.
You can listen to our full archive of episodes on Stitcher Premium. For a free one-month trial, use code DEEPDIVE. Special thanks to Anne Geddes for our cover art and Lennon Parham for her sweet vocals. And remember, the best way to support The Deep Dive is to rate and review.